Sichos Aran, Sicha Kuf Mem Dalid, 144. Kishabab Milamberg, Vaya Dain Chalat Shalo, Dahinu Ahust, Mitgaber Lav. So Rabbi Nachman returned from a town called Lemberg. He spent some time there. And it was at a time that his sickness was very strong. It was getting stronger. What he ended up dying from later on at the age of 40. His tuberculosis, it was getting stronger at that point. So he used to go for a walk every day for healing outside of the city. He also had other high, lofty spiritual intentions for going out every day outside the city to walk in the fields. V'shamanu mipiv HaKadosh, and we heard from his holy mouth, Az b'derech ha'tiyul, kama torot v'kama sichot v'sibrim nefla'im v'no'arim gam. So at this time when he would go for a walk, we would be walking with him, following after him. And on the way, we would hear from him amazing teachings, awesome, wondrous teachings. Also, the teaching that's recorded in Kutim Aran Tinyana, the second part of the Kutim Aran, Siman Yud Aleph, Torah 11, where he says over there, Da, k'she'achad mitpala basadeh, nema al pasuk, yetzi litzach l'suach basadeh. There he's talking about how powerful it is for a person to walk in the fields and to pray in the fields. And we know this from the pasuk that says about Yitzchak. Yitzchak l'suach basadeh, that Yitzchak went out to speak in the fields. Rashi says l'suach is l'shon tefillah, that he's be talking to Hashem, having a conversation with Hashem in the fields. That teaching was revealed at that point. Nemar gam ken az be'et shenasanu imo l'tayel v'amadnu masadeh echad v'radnu me'agala. Hu haya adayin yoshev al agala v'amadnu mesvivo. So we were driving with him on the wagon, and we came to the place where we came to the field where he wanted to get out. We went out off the wagon, and he was already, he was still sitting in the wagon. We were all standing around him. And then it became mincha time. Time for the afternoon prayers. We wanted to pray over there. Hazamar Torah, now, and that's when he revealed this teaching. Va'inyan sham. And what is this teaching talking about? Kishem et parolim basadeh, azai kol asavim, etc. When someone prays in the field, so all of the grasses, all of the trees and the plants enter into the person's prayer and give strength to the prayer. Ayin Sham. Look over there and you'll see this teaching in the Kutim Aran, part 2. Chapter 11. He talks about the benefit of praying in the fields. How all of the trees, grasses, plants, they all enter into the person's prayer and give him strength to pray. Ma'amar achakach, shekamo she'anachnu omdim svivo, kach hu ra'et kol asavim, ech kol esav ve'esav, tochek atzmo lekol echad v'achad omdim sham, kedi la'alot v'lechnos b'toch tefilato. So then he said to all the people surrounding him, listening to his teaching, he said, exactly how you're surrounding me and listening to what I'm saying. I see clearly every single grass pushing themselves to get in to each one of your prayer, to be raised up in the prayer, as is explained in that teaching. גם התורה של איי מקום כבודו על פסק ואיי עשה לעולה, בסימן יוד בייז. Another teaching that was revealed during these trips was a famous teaching called Aye, Aye Asela Sodeh, La'ola, where is the ram for offering? There's a said about the time of the carbon, about Akedas Yitzchak. This teaching is mentioned in Kutim Aran in chapter number 12. Vator al-mamar mai taima gamla zutar gnufte b'tor arucha gnufte ha-matchil elu ha-metparim b'gdolot simen tezvav. Also, teaching number 15 was revealed then. Atara matchil hikshu mepnei mash kishachal mevakish parnasa v'simen tezayin. Also, chapter number 16. Kol zeh shemanu al haderech. All this we heard during these trips on the way. B'shat ha-tiyul v'od shari torot v'chol ha-mamarim hanal. During the trip that we were taking, while we were walking, we heard a lot of teachings from him. Amash enemar al b'tichad da'atei, chomash shemanu az al haderech hakol mukusham u'maz b'mamir rezal b'agada ha'pliya. Shall Rabbi Yehuda v'Rezera b'etchaya b'ticha da'atei ha'bar m'tisha tarnegola madle ena b'sham u'maz koz. So we see over there how powerful it is for a person to pray in the Sadeh. Rabbi Nachman mentions this idea many times, the idea of Hesperidus. And it says, Ve'itzi Yitzchak l'svach l'sadeh. So it says, Sicha zot tefillah. But which tefillah is called Sicha? Sicha literally means conversation. So it says about Yitzchak, that Yitzchak went out to converse in the field. So this is talking about the kind of prayer which is a conversation with Hashem. The person tries to bring Hashem into a conversation. Talk to him as if he's talking to his best friend or someone that's close to him. And that's the way you're supposed to talk to Hashem in your own language. And the best place to do that, Rabbi Nachman says in many places, the best place to do that is in the nature, in the fields. And there are many reasons for it. One of the reasons Rabbi Nachman says in his main teaching about Hesperidus is because it's a place where no people are. And wherever there's people around, so their thoughts interfere with other people around them. Even if they don't speak to you or make noise, making noise certainly be an interference. Speaking would certainly be an interference. But even people's thoughts interfere a person's prayer. So if you want to have clear prayer, it's best to go to a place where no one is. And the best place for that is in the forest, in the field, where no one goes. Number one. Number two, he says, even if you go to a place where no one is, you need to go there at night. You need to go there at night because night is the best time to pray. So if you're going at night, why should you go to a place where no one is during the day? Reason is because even at night, those thoughts, those energies are still around in that place. So even if you go at night, you should go to a place where no one is. Over here in Yerushalayim, there are vans that take people every single night. Certain times are night, sometimes it's midnight, some are right before dawn. There's an organization that does it for free. Anyone wants to come on can come on. And they take people outside of the city to the fields, to the forest. Usually it's a forest around the cave of Shmuel and Navi. There's a lot of open fields over there. Sometimes people go further. They go to the desert. Not far from here is a desert. Midbar Yehuda, Judean desert. Over there you can walk for hours and hours and hours and not come to any place where there are people. People walk, not during the day and not at night. But for someone that never experienced that, what it means to be alone with Hashem at night in the wilderness, never really experienced what pure, clear prayer is. There's no interference at all on any level. That's something very, very important. In this teaching over here, in the Kutim Aran, So Rabbi Nachman explained a little bit more about how it works, how the plants enter into a person's prayer, because they also need to be raised up. Everything has in it holy sparks. Everything needs to pray to Hashem, not only human beings. So that's what gives strength to a person's prayer. But in any case, even when we go to the field, to the desert, where there's no plants, nothing, there's emptiness. It's a really amazing place to do a spodidus, to pray for Hashem. A person can literally reach really, really high levels, tremendously high levels by doing this. Rabbi Nachman says that all the tzaddikim only reach their levels by doing this, by doing a spodidus. And he even says more than that. He said that it can't be a tzaddik in the world ever who became a tzaddik without doing a spodidus. It's impossible. And we see stories of tzaddikim. Chavetz Chaim used to close himself in a room every midnight and do a spodidus. People would hear from the other side of the door how he'd be talking to Hashem. So not only about being a tzaddikim, just being a human being, trying to fix your midos, trying to fix the things that you've done, trying to get guidance. There's no way to do this with all the noise in the world. It's just impossible. It's impossible. And we see stories of people that fell to such low places and did such terrible things. And their lives are gone. They lose their lives. Their lives are over. You know, this world is, lifetime is very, very short. And so what's the trick? What's the way to get out of it? How do we protect ourselves? This is the key. This is the key. Have a regular schedule of secluding yourself with Hashem, talking to Hashem in your own language, with truth and honesty, by checking the things that you've done that day, whether you acted correctly, didn't act correctly. Ask for help to act correctly the next time. Ask for help doing what's right, coming close to Hashem. Try to work on your midos, whether you have not kosher desires, whether you have tendency towards anger, tendency towards sadness, or any other of the bad midos. So pour out your heart to Hashem, or just talk to Him on a regular basis. And there you're guaranteed that will save your life. That will save your life. Now even Rav Arush says that if there'll be one day that he doesn't do this, he wouldn't be able to go on during his day. He wouldn't even know himself. Once a person gets hooked on this idea of Hespodidus, then they realize that they can't go on a day without it. If you're very, very busy, you have a very busy schedule, you have work responsibilities, family responsibilities. So take out a calendar, put it on your daily schedule, a certain time in a day. You have a meeting, a very, very important meeting, and you can't miss that meeting. You have a meeting with your boss, you have a meeting with the CEO, you have a meeting with the head doctor, whatever you want to call it. Hashem is way above all of those things. Hashem is the boss, Hashem is the CEO, the CFO. He's the main doctor, and you have a personal meeting with him. You're not going to come late. You're not going to miss it for something else. What else can be more important than that? He's the boss. He's in charge of everything. So what are you going to do yourself that could possibly be more important than your meeting with the boss? I heard one tzaddik say that a person needs to know they don't have 24 hours in a day. They only have 23 hours in a day. 1 hour is not yours. It's not yours. It's Hashem's hour. Hashem's waiting for you. He wants you to talk to Him. No matter what, there's nothing else in the world that's more important than that. Nothing else in the world. 1 hour a day, you're going to talk to Hashem. Anyone has any questions, you can use the Q&A. You don't have what to say to Hashem. Just sit there. Maybe He'll talk to you, or maybe not. You're not on a high level to hear Hashem's telling you, that's fine. You don't have to hear all the hints that Hashem is sending you. Just be alone with Hashem for an hour a day. And certainly you have a lot to talk about. Look how much you talk to other people, to your friends, to your colleagues, to your children, to your spouse. You have what to talk to Hashem. You go through so much in your day. You keep everything inside. Instead of keeping it all locked up inside, put it out to Hashem. Speak it out to Hashem. And the best place to do that, outside the city, in the fields. The best time to do that is midnight when no one's around. Because even if there's people around, in that hour, but you're away from them, nevertheless, the fact that people are awake in the city can interfere. That can interfere. So that's really the best place to do a spiders. But best place and best time. But if you can't do it, you're not able to do it, then you can really do it anywhere and any time. Anywhere and any time. You can lock yourself in a room. If you don't have a room, Rabbi Nachman says, in another place, everyone should have a room. Should have a room. And that room is only for esparidus, only for davening and learning. He says when someone has a room set aside for this, he says just entering the room alone already brings a person a feeling of holiness, feeling of connection. It's good to have a room. And not everyone's able to have a room. Rabbi Nelson himself prayed for many, many years that he should zocha to have a room, a private room somewhere where no one will bother him. Obviously, no phones. In those days, they didn't have the problem with phones and computers. In that room, you won't have any phones, you won't have any computers. Nothing that can possibly bother you. And that's the room that you go every single day, whenever you need to be alone with Hashem, be alone with the boss and to talk to him. But not everyone has the ability to have their own room. So what do? Very simple. You can really talk to Hashem anywhere, anytime. They have this organization, the one that pays for the vans to go to the fields. They also put out all this, material, all these pamphlets. And when Corona was first out, when COVID restrictions were beginning with the masks, everyone needed to wear masks. So they put out an advertisement campaign that in Hebrew, that if you wear a mask, then it's a good time to do a spodidus. Behind the mask, no one can see your lips are moving doing a spodidus. Right now, you're talking to Hashem. No one knows. Sometimes someone can talk on the phone, maybe they're talking to someone on the phone, talking to Hashem. Sometimes someone can open up a book, make believe he's reading a book and he's talking to Hashem. Other places you don't have to make believe, you can just talk to Hashem. You go to a kotel, you go to a Beit Knesset, you sit there, talk to Hashem. Ben Nachman says that the David HaMelech, it says, he used to do it under his blanket at night. Under his blanket at night, he talks to Hashem. Wherever you are, you can talk to Hashem. One time they asked Rabbi Nachman, when do you do a spiritus? He said, I do a spiritus when I'm talking to you, when I'm talking to the community, when I give over my class, that's when I do a spiritus. Someone can be such a high level, be alone with Hashem, even when they're surrounded by people. But in order to get to that, you have to be physically and literally alone with Hashem. So maybe we should look at that now. I know the teaching of Rabbi Nachman. Aholich balayla. Let's look at that. Meanwhile, we'll take questions. Anonymous is asking, should we daven in front of our pets? I don't see why that's a problem unless they're have a bad smell. When you're talking to Hashem, you really can talk to Hashem anywhere. You're not using the name of Hashem, so you can really do that anywhere. But if you're in front of something that smells, then you need to distance yourself 4 amos when you're doing the regular davening, like Shachas Minchamer. When you're talking to Hashem, you talk to Hashem anyway. Okay, here we go. This is a good question. I wanted someone to ask this question because this will bring up a need to learn another teaching in the Likutei Moharan. So, question is being asked, what about the idea that you're not supposed to be out at night alone? I think I read it in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so let's look at that. This is a Mishnah, actually. Pirkei Avos. And I'm going to share my screen now. Okay. I'm going to share my screen. So here, Rabbi Nachman quotes this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It explains in a really beautiful way. So, it says like this. Sometimes they have English here, so people can follow along. Here. Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinai Omer. Hanir balayla, ram halech b'derech yichidi, umefan elibo lebatala, harizeh metchayev benafsho. Rabbi Chanina, the son of Chanini, said, someone who is awake at night and goes alone on a way and empties his heart with empty thoughts, he's liable for his own soul. So there are many different explanations of what this means. It's not so clear what he's saying. Here, Rabbi Nachman is going to explain. Many people would seem from this that it's not a good thing to go out at night alone. Let's see what he says here. Yesh apikosim sha'omim sha'olam hu. This is very, very deep. So I don't know if try to focus a little bit. It's a very, very deep teaching. Yesh apikosim sha'omim sha'olam hu mechuya b'metziut. Okay. So there are heretics that say that this world is the necessary reality. This world is the reality. And everything else we want to explain, we have to bring it a proof from this world. Everything else we want to believe as reality, we need to find some proof in this world, right? This is basically what science is. Don't tell them anything that we don't see in this world, because this world is the reality and everything else is not reality, unless it has some basis in this world. That's what the heretics say. ולפי דעתם הרעה המשובשת נדמה להם שיש על זה ראיות ומופתים חס ושלום ממנהג העולם. Based on their evil and erroneous opinion, it seems to them that they have proofs and examples of this, God forbid, from the way the world functions. They have all this proof of how it's clear to them that this world, the things that we see with our very eyes, is the only real reality. There's no other reality besides for this world. And this world must exist. Aval, but the truth is, be'emet hevel yiftzet pihem. Ki be'emet olam u'mulo'o hu efshari ha-metziut. But in fact, their mouths spew foolishness. For the truth is that the world and all it contains are a contingent reality. Kirak Hashem itbarach levad hu mechuyav ha-metziut. Only Hashem alone is what's called mechuyav ha-metziut, the necessary reality, existence. Aval kol ha-olamo, all of the worlds, im kol ha-shebehem, with everything in it, him efshari ha-metziut. They don't necessarily need to exist. All of the worlds, not only this physical world, but he's talking about even upper worlds, or the galaxies, or whatever it is. There's nothing else that must exist besides for Hashem. Because he, Hashem, created everything something from nothing. And it was within Hashem's power and choice to create or not to create all of these worlds. Therefore, certainly, all of the world and everything in it are possible reality, but they are not necessary reality. They're possible existence and not necessary existence. Ach, me'ayin nimshach ha-ta'ut, she'yocholim lit'ot chas v'shalom, she'olam hu mochuyah b'metziyut chas v'shalom. However, what is the basis of this mistake that makes it possible for people to incorrectly conclude that this world is the necessary reality, God forbid? What does this mistake come from? How could people possibly think that this world is the only real reality? Da, sheno. Sheze nimshach mechmat shebe'emet ata shekvar netzlu v'nimshachu nishmot Yisrael. It says this mistake stems from the fact that now, after the souls of the Jewish people have already been created and brought down to this world, now the world is the aspect of the necessary reality that it needs to exist. Chazal teach, as is known, that the entire world and everything that it contains was only created for the Jewish people, for the person that has free will, and for him to choose good and to do mitzvahs. So since the whole world was created only for the Jewish soul, v'Yisrael moshlim ba'olam, and the Jewish people rule the world. Their actions are what causes anything that happens in the world to happen. Val Kane. And therefore, Vivadai, certainly, Ata, Achashen etzlu b'nevru neshmot Yisrael, now after the fact that the souls of the Jewish people were created and brought down to this world. So since the Jewish souls exist, so to speak, Hashem must create and maintain the world. Because it was for that reason that it created the souls of the Jewish people. They live rubbish for lamat kol olamot in order to create for them all of the worlds. Ach nishmot Yisrael ba'atzman kishenetzlu ayuhim ba'atzman im kol olamot atluim behem akol haya efshari ha-metziut. However, the souls of Jewish people, before they were brought down to this world, before they were created, they and all of the worlds that are dependent on them, all of them were possible realities. Because Hashem had a choice to create them or not to create them. Ach techef kishenetratza kadosh bochu la'atzil nishmot Yisrael. However, immediately, when Hashem decided to create the souls of Jewish people, azai hayakol ha'olam bevchinat mechuyav ha'metziyut, and the entire world became in the aspect of necessary existence. Ki me'achar shenetzlu neshmot Yisrael, azai kiviyachal hu mechuyav la'amtzi ha'olam, ka'amanat ken netzlu neshmatan, shekol ha'olamot yibaru b'shvilam, em yimshilu b'kol, b'aven hetev. Because now that Hashem created the souls of Jewish people, Hashem, so to speak, must create the world, because that was his purpose of creating these souls, that all of the worlds were created for them, and they will rule the world. And this you have to understand, that this world really doesn't need to exist. Hashem could decide to create it, not create it, to get rid of it, not get rid of it, any moment. You can't bring any proof of reality based on this world. This world is just happens to be that Hashem decided to create it. However, the truth is, and now that the souls of the Jewish people are created, so this world becomes an aspect of a necessary existence. Because Hashem created the worlds for the Jewish people. And He needs to continue to maintain the world for the Jewish people. This concept, Rabbi Nachman says, you should understand this well. So from this fact, that's how the mistake of the heretics developed. They say that this world, as it is, in all of its levels, is the necessary reality. And they want to bring proofs of reality based on what they see in this world. But the truth is, only Hashem alone is the necessary reality. Everything else is a possible reality. Because the heretics, when they're saying this, and not saying this because of the souls of Jewish people, they're saying this because this is the reality that they see in front of their eyes, and they say that what you don't see with your eyes, you can't believe. What you don't see with your eyes doesn't exist. But the truth is the opposite is true. What you see with your eyes, you see it now, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that is the real reality. So why is he saying this? And how does this explain the Mishnah that we started with? He says, V'ikar ha-kavanah shebara kol ha-olam b'shvil Yisrael, ha-kadesh Yisrael ya'asu ritzono. So you have to understand that we said that Hashem created the world for the Jewish people, it's only for one reason, that the Jewish people should do Hashem's will. Sheyachzeru v'yid b'ku b'shar sham, that they should return and cling to their source. Hanu, sheyachzeru b'yichulu bo yitbarach, meaning they should return and bind themselves to Him. That He is the necessary reality. And that was the reason why He created everything. So we see from this that only when the Jewish people are doing Hashem's will and they're becoming unified with their source, which is Hashem, which is the necessary reality, the only real reality. And through this, through the Jewish people doing the will of Hashem, through this, the entire world that was created for them also becomes included in the necessary reality. Because that was the whole purpose why this world was created. Only for this reason, Hashem, so to speak, needed to create this world in order to give a ability for the Jewish people to do His will. Therefore, only then, when the Jewish people are doing His will, does the whole world become included in this necessary existence, this necessary reality. Because in as much as the Jewish people are doing Hashem's will, that's how much they will be included in Him, and that's how much they will include all the world and everything in it, in Him, which is the necessary reality. על ידי שעושים מרצונו את ברך, הם חוזרים ונכללים בו את ברך, שמחויב במציאות, ואז נכללים ממה הם כל העולמות הדברים בנפשם בחיר במציאות כנראה. So when a Jewish person does the will of Hashem, he's including the entire world in their source, which is Hashem. And that's making the entire world aspect of mechuyav ha-metziyut, of the necessary reality. So, how does a person merit this? So he says, ach, lizkot lezeh, likalel b'shersho, dehainu lachzor likalel b'achdut Hashem itbarach, shemuchuyav ha-metziyut. זה אי אפשר לזכות, כמעט על ידי ביטול, שיבטל עצמו לגמרי, עד שיהיה נכלל באחדותו יתברך. How does a person merit this idea of being one with his source? To go back and to include himself, be completely unified with Hashem, which is the מחויב המציאות, to become a necessary reality. It's impossible for a person to merit this without one idea. This is the idea of bittul. This is where Rabbi Nachman introduces this idea of bittul, which is a very, very important, powerful idea in Chassidus. Bittul can be translated, like it's translated here, self-negation, to nullify yourself. So a person needs to make himself transparent, needs to make himself nothing, in order to go back to his source and to include himself in his source in Hashem. Shivatel atzmo legamri, to make himself completely nothing. Ad shi yenechla b'achduto yitbarach, when someone becomes nothing, empties himself of all worldliness, then automatically he becomes one with Hashem. The more a person is, the more a person is full of materialism and worldliness, the further he is from Hashem. Hashem is completely separated from this world, completely beyond this world. In the Ein Sof, the infinite light of Hashem. So if someone wants to go back and connect to that place, he also has to become separated from this world. Meaning, nullify their own will, desires, tendencies. And especially character traits, negative character traits. How does a person reach this awesome level, which we can't even comprehend, of nullifying themselves? How does a person reach that level? Rabbi Nachman says over here, it's impossible to reach that level without one thing. What's that one thing, the one key to reach that level? Yevshal lavol idei bitul ki ima idei itbarudut. Only through itbarudus. Here we see, if those of you aren't yet familiar with how Rabbi Nachman writes his teachings in the Kutei Maran, so he goes from step to step. It's impossible to reach this without that, and then in order to reach that, you have to reach that. So here he's saying, in order to reconnect to your soul, to your source, you need to have bittul. In order to have bittul, you need to have hisbodedus. Ki al yedei shemitbodedu meforesh sichato beino lebein kono. Because when a person secludes themselves and talks to Hashem in his own language, in his own way, through this he can merit to nullify all of the evil desires, all his evil character traits and tendencies, until he merits to completely nullify all of his worldliness, all of his materialism, and to be encompassed in his source. However, the main time for his bodhidus is at night. When the world, when people in the world are free from their preoccupations of this world. Ki bayom, because during the day, that the whole world is chasing after this world, chasing after things of this world. Who mevatelo mebabelato adam ledabek ulekalel b'Hashem Yitbarach. So the fact that people are awake and chasing after this world, that energy prevents a person and confuses a person from clinging to Hashem. Even if he himself is not involved in all these things that other people are involved in, he's not chasing after this world. As since people in the world are occupied at that time and chasing after the world, the vanities of this world at that time, so through that, it's difficult for a person to come to this self-nullification, this bitul. So a person has to do his burdus, but the main time is at night. Also, person needs that this spot should take place in a special place. Hainu, michutz la'ir, b'derech yechidi, outside the city, in a place, in a secluded place. B'makom she'en holchim sham b'nei adam, in a place that people don't walk there. Ki b'makom she'olchim sham b'nei adam b'yom, because a place that people walk there during the day, harodfim achar olam hazeh, who are chasing after this world, even though now you're there at night and there's no one there. But the energy that's there, left there from that place, people were around during the day, that confuses a person and interferes with his izbarudut. And he can't really nullify himself and include himself with Hashem. Halkein tzirich shelech lebado b'alayla. Therefore, a person needs to go alone at night, v'derech yichidi, in a secluded way, v'makom she'ein sham adam, in a place where no one exists, no one is there, v'sham yelech v'itbodeinu, but there he should go and seclude himself, v'yifaneh libo v'dato mikol iskei olam hazeh, and should clean out his heart, empty out his heart, empty out his mind, from all involvement of this world. Vatela kol, nullify everything. Until a person merits the aspect of complete bitul, complete self-nullification. How does this work? I know shebetchila yarbe bitfilot v'schot v'itbaludut balayla b'derech yechidi kanal. But first, when he starts this, he should come to the secluded place at night, and he should be involved in a great deal of prayer and talking to Hashem, Sporadus, in this place. Achi is kele batel zadava. I know. Levatel mida batav zot. So a person has a certain character trait that they need to work on. Everyone has some kind of character they need to work on. Let's start with one. Start with one. And focus all your time on it. All your prayers, all your spiritus in this place. Until over time, however long it might take, days, weeks, months, maybe years, until you merit to completely cancel out this negative character trait that you have, a negative habit, whatever it is, or bad desire. After we finish completely nullifying this, you continue and increase your itbarudut, until you cancel out and nullify a different character trait or desire. And this you should do for a very long time. At the same time, at night. In the same place, in the secluded area. Until a person merits to completely nullify everything. When a person no longer has any personal desires, no longer has any negative character traits. Everything is just completely for Hashem. That's called bitul, complete nullification. Until you merit to nullify everything and you have no desire in this, in your life for anything besides for Hashem. And you have no tendencies or midot that are pulling you towards anything in this world besides for Hashem. You clean out all of the externalities. Your only desire is your pure, naked, original desire of your soul when it was created in the upper world, which is Chalek Alaka Mimal Mamish, which is literally one with Hashem. Once you peel away all the externalities, you're left with a piece of God, a piece of Hashem, a piece of light. And then you might notice, once everything is very clear and clean and transparent, you notice very small things that you still need to work on. Small specks of dirt, small dots of something that's not completely pure. You have to work on that as well. Continue working on yourself. Until there's nothing left of it. Here we have in parentheses an explanation that Rav Nosson put in. He says, Pirush, Ki yachol yot achar shabitel kol ha-tavot u-midot ra'ot. Adayin nishama menu klum. Because it's possible, even after a person spent much time in this practice of his bodhidus, years and years, and he merited to cancel and destroy his evil desires and his bad character traits, it's possible that something else, something is still remains. Maybe he didn't completely nullify his pride, egotism. Until he thinks that he's worth something. He thinks that he's something. He still thinks he's a something. So therefore a person needs to continue to engage himself extensively and to labor in this work of his spiritus until there's nothing left of him. He doesn't even feel good about himself. Don't feel any ego, any pride that he merited to cancel out all of his desires for worldly things, that he canceled out all of his negative character traits. He doesn't desire anything in this world. He's not drawn to anything in this world, only towards Hashem, only to what will fulfill Hashem's ratzon. But I don't feel like there's anything special about me. This is the reason I was created. This is who I am. This is my soul. So many times a person might fall into pride and feel like, oh, look, I'm so much greater than all those people that are chasing after this world. Look at me. He might not say it to others, but he might think it to himself. So he still has a lot of work to do. He didn't begin yet. He began, but he's so far away reaching the goal of becoming completely nullified. So he needs to continue working on this pride, on his ego, till he completely abolishes, destroys his ego. And he's left only with his pure soul, whose only desire is to connect himself to Hashem. Okay, we have a few more minutes. Ba'azai. And when someone merits this complete nullification, that he merits true bitul, true nullification, then his soul becomes encompassed in his source, which is Hashem. Danu boid barach, Hashem et barach. Shehu mechuyav ha-metziut, that he is the necessary reality. He is the only real reality. When this person becomes included in that, then he becomes also a real reality. Hazay nechlal kol olam im nafsho v'shosho. Shehu mechuyav ha-metziut, ki hakol taloi bo. Then, not only does this one individual soul becomes included in the one real reality, together with his soul, the entire world becomes encompassed in his source and included in this one reality. Because everything in this world was created for him to do Hashem's will. And everything depends on him. Then, the entire world becomes the mechuyav ha-metziut, the necessary reality, through this person's work on himself. So he didn't only work on his own personal self. Everything is connected. And he basically fixed the entire world and raised up the entire world and brought the entire world to this aspect of mechuyav ha-metziut, a real existence to be fulfilling their purpose of creation. And therefore, the entire world must exist and must be maintained. And therefore, on a simple level, a person will have complete protection, the world will have complete protection. That's how we see, like it says in Chazal, that a tzaddik protects the entire world. Because if a tzaddik is alive, then he raises up the whole world to mechuyav ha-metziut. And Hashem must maintain the world for this tzaddik. And therefore, everyone in this world is protected as long as they're not against the tzaddik. Sometimes, Rav Nachman talks about a person receives disgrace. When they're disgraced, and a person receives disgrace, the only purpose for that is to nullify, to help them, give them a boost in nullification. And sometimes a person is not interested in nullifying themselves. They just want to be full of ego, full of pride. So, but they want to serve Hashem. So Hashem gives them a gift and someone will disgrace them. And that will give them a boost in, beginning this process of nullification. Depends how we respond. Someone responds to nullification. Someone responds to disgrace by accept with acceptance and love. And they can reach really, really high levels through it. But someone who can't live a reality of having their pride smashed, and they'd rather die than be in this world and not be respected. And they lost everything. They just gave everything up. Va'ata, so now we're going to finish. Va'ata tir'e pilei plaot. And now I want you to see something very amazing. Everything that we just learned, this whole deep teaching that we went through, is all explained in this Mishnah, which tells you, we'll read it again, we'll read it now. Aner Balaila, Rabbi Chanina, the son of Chanichai, said, someone that stays awake at night and goes alone and makes room in his heart for empty thoughts, Levatala, for empty thoughts. He's mitchayev benafsho. He's liable for his own soul, meaning he deserves a death penalty, so to speak, in a simple translation. But here you're going to understand what this Mishnah really is teaching us. Everything that we just learned now. How do we see everything we just learned now in this Mishnah? So he explains. Haneir balayla, someone that's awake at night. Kipshuto, this is literally someone that's awake at night. That he's awake at night. And he secludes himself and speaks at length to his master, to Hashem. And the Mishnah continues, and he goes on a secluded path, Hainu Kanal, like we explained. He literally, specifically goes to a secluded place, A place that people don't walk there. Not during the day and not at night. Because that is the time and the place that is the essence and completeness of Esporos. That is the ideal Esporos. Balayla at night. B'derech Echidi, in a secluded place. Specifically. Ki az daika yicholem lavor b'chinat bito. Because then specifically can a person reach the aspect of bito kanal, nullification, like we explained. V'zeo, and this is what the Mishnah says. Umefaneli bo lebatala, the Mishnah continues. And makes room in his heart for batala. What does this mean? Anusha mefaneli bo mikol eskei olam hazeh. That he empties out his heart from everything in this world, for all matters of this world, levatala, in order to merit the aspect of bitul, in order to levatala, to get to batala, to get to bitul. So mefaneli bo levatala, he empties out his heart for all matters of this world, levatala, in order to get to bitul. K'dei lizkot lebchinat bitul kanal, in order to merit this aspect of bitul, as we explained above. Azai zoche sheyuchlal nafsho b'mechuyav b'metziut kanal. Then he merits that his soul becomes one and encompassed in the necessary reality. Azai nichlalem kol ha'olamot im nafsho b'mechuyav b'metziut kanal. And then all of the worlds become included in his soul in the necessary reality. V'zo. And this is what the Mishnah continues and says, this person is mitchayev for his own soul. What does this mean? Shenichlal kol ha'olam bebchinat mechuyav ha'metziyot im nafsho. That the entire world becomes included in, together, in the aspect of the necessary reality through his soul. Ki ha'idei itbordut kanal, because through itbordus, Zachal b'chinat bitul, he merited the aspect of nullification, bitul. Ad shenichlal nafsho b'chiyuv ha'metziyot, until his soul became included in the chiyuv ha'metziyot, a necessary reality. V'yidei zeh nichlal kol ha'olam im nafsho b'chiyuv ha'metziyot, and then the entire world became included with his soul in the chiyuv ha'metziyot, in the necessary reality. And then his soul and the entire world becomes this aspect of the necessary reality. Kanal, as we explained above. Is there, and this is what the Mishnah says and ends up and says, this person is mitchayev b'nafsho, meaning through his soul, he's mitchayev the entire world to become mechiyuv ha'metziyut. Here, Rav Nosson writes a conclusion of this teaching, summary. How practically to do this. So let's read this, and then it's over. Okay. And he says, "V'halacha lashon Rabbeinu Matar hazot shekatva b'tachlat hakitzur." Oh, actually, Rabbi Nachman himself wrote this. He wrote a summary for this teaching, and this is what he wrote. Hamhalich b'derech echidi aner b'layla. He quotes the Mishnah. Da, sh'ikar ha'bitol sh'adam mevatel yishuto v'nase ayin v'nechlal b'achdut Hashem v'dbarach azay ein zeh ele aidei ha'tbordut. Essence of bitol, that a person negates his reality, negates his yeshut, his ego, his reality, and becomes nothing, becomes nothingness, becomes encompassed in the oneness of God, is achieved only through his Buddha. His Buddha needs a place and a special place and time. That people shouldn't confuse him. And the time is at night. That the Mishnah teaches, be up at night. Everyone is sleeping. And the place needs to be in a secluded place. Not a place where people are found. People shouldn't interrupt. Specifically in a place where people don't go. Shami lech mitbodet. Over there you should go and seclude yourself. I know malahalech v'derech chidi, like the Mishnah teaches. Go in a secluded place. Vaz yachol lefanot libo mekol b'chol, and then you'll be able to empty out your heart from everything. Yachol lebo lebitul kol ha'yeshut. You'll be able to cancel out all of your reality. Hanu mefanel libo lebatala. As kishenit, but then you can empty your heart lebatala to be, get bito. As kishenit, mitbatel gamre azai. And then when he becomes completely nullified, he becomes one with Hashem. Then he becomes the aspect of mechuyav. Only Hashem is the necessary reality. Everything else is possible reality. When this person becomes nullified and becomes one with Hashem, it goes out from the aspect of possible, nechnal b'mechuyav, and he becomes included in the aspect of necessary. That's what the Mishnah says. He will become mitchayev b'nafsho, become the necessary reality. And that's the end of this teaching. So, thanks for joining, and b'zat Hashem, we'll meet again next week.